Today's daf in the Masechet Shviit, Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Zayin, and we're up to the Halak and Mishnah, which actually begins on Chof Vav Amud Beis. So let's talk about the issues that we've been dealing with in terms of removing the psoilus on your field. And we spoke about first in terms of an actual machtzev and stones. Yesterday we talked about straw, which was maybe loose straw and sticks, and ways that it would be mutter to do such a thing if it's clear what you're doing. So you have an animal with you that you're handing all of the straw to, or you have a stove with you and you're making breakfast, and you're putting all the little pieces into, and the question about the relative sizes of the largest pieces versus the smaller pieces, and so on and so forth. Today, we have a fascinating question, which is going to raise two very important issues. One is, in a situation where you have a situation that involves sakonas nefashas, what are you allowed to do in advance to prevent the sakana in shvias? And another situation is, if somebody didn't keep to the dinim that the Chachomim have given us over the past parak, previous parak, do we actually say that there's a knas and that he would be unable to use that field because of the work that he did? He wouldn't be able to use the field on Mitzvah Shvias either. That would be a knas, the Rabbanah. So, fine. Let's review the overall klal of the issues over here. Basically, you are not allowed to do any tikkun in your field during Shvias, even if that tikkun is for the purposes of Mitzvah Shvias. Now, the question is that even though the Chachomim asserted all of that, although you weren't planting or doing any of the things that were for current agriculture, nonetheless, the Chachomim said you can't even prepare your field during Shvias. So now the question is, if you did, is there also a knas rabbanon that says that you're not even allowed to use that field after Shvias? Okay, so now it turns out that really there are two different levels of the iser to be oved in your sada in preparation for Mitzvah Shvias. So there are things that you do that are work on the land itself. So we talked about fertilizing the land, plowing the land. So that is the type of thing which when we asered during the Shvias for Mitzvah Shvias, we also asered, if you did it, with a knas. Because what you did was the direct appreciation of the agriculture. But suppose what you did was not on in the land itself, but it was beneficial for the use of the land. So basically you did something like what we've been talking about, cleaning out the stones, the sticks, the straw that scattered over the land, but you didn't actually plow it. You didn't go into the land itself. Over there, even though we saw that there are certain cases that the Chachamim assert, that nonetheless, if you were over on those cases, there's no knas, and you would be able to actually work that field on Mitzvah Shvias, despite the fact that you are doing things that made life easier for you, be'isr. So now, our Mishnah introduces the question of Sada Shenit Kaftza. Kaftza is from the Lashon of Kotz, and it means that the kotzim were removed. Now, it's not very clear in the Mishnah whether we're talking about removing these kotzim because they were growing in the field and you needed to plow it in order to uproot these weeds, or they were loose on the field and you just took them out. Now, that we're going to be getting into in a moment when we get to the Gemara. We'll discuss it a little bit as we go along. So if all that you did was during Shvias, you took out all of the thorns that were there, so then tizara b'motzei Shviit, even though this was useful for you, made it easier to do the Zriya on Mitzvah Shvias, it is no knas. And you can go ahead and use the work that you did in order to be able to plant Mitzvah Shvias. But how about in a case that it was nitaiva? So a sadash nitaiva, and that means you actually made the property a better property. Now, we're going to see that there's a big machlokas between the way this was understood in Bavel and the way that it was understood in Eretz Yisrael here, as we learned in Yerushalmi. Okay, what exactly is nitaiva? So nitaiva means you made it better. Now, you could have made it better by fertilizing it directly, or you could have made it better by actually doing the type of plowing that will remove all of the weeds. And even if it's referring to fertilizing, there's two ways to fertilize. There's nizdabla, by bringing a tractor and dropping fertilizer all across it. But there's also, as we saw in the Isurim before, nidaira. Nidaira means that you had people or yourself brought in your sheep and you made a deer there for your sheep and they ended up being mizabel the field. Well, in that case, where you actually did things that bettered the land itself, there's a knas. And because of that, lotis araba matzer shvi'it, and there we aser it. Now, the question about what precisely are we referring to when we talked about the removal of the kotzi. So it's going to turn out that in Eretz Yisrael, they understood that the situation over here was that you actually went ahead, plowed your field, the first plowing, which was to remove all of the weeds. And the question is that if you had plowed your field a second plowing, which is the direct hatova of the land, making it ready for Zriya, then we would have asered it. But if all that you did was remove the kotzim through plowing, then we don't aser it. That's what it would seem to be saying, according to the Yerushalmi. Now, we're going to see that actually the political situation was very different in Bavel and in the Yerushalmi and the Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, it was taken for granted that the Mishnah is referring to different circumstances. All this we're going to get into in the Gemara. So when we talked about Nitaiva, so the idea over here is that you actually did, according to Yerushalmi, a Harisha. You did a harisha in order to remove the kotzim. Understood it's a harisha. Whereas according to the Yerushalmi, it means that the first part, the chelot that was okay, the nitkafta, that's a reference to already doing harisha. And then the second word, shenitaiba, is referring to doing the second harisha, which, after you'd already taken out all the weeds, is making the field ready right now for a full Zeria. Now it's going to turn out that the only reason that the Yerushalmi was matir the case of a nitkavtza through Harisha in the beginning is because it's talking about a political situation in Eretz Yisrael in which the government decreed that you must pay land usage fees by providing a certain amount of agricultural produce to the government. And therefore, if you did not produce that, then you could be in very serious trouble. So some learn you could be in such serious trouble that it could include a death penalty or dying in chain prison. And because of that, we were matter doing this even in Shvius, which is the Arisa. Others learn that you would be deep trouble, meaning in terms of your parnasa, and that it's talking about Shvius Bisman Hazeh, and that because of that, the Chachamim were not geyser, and they said, in a case where you have no choice, and you're not doing this in order to use Peir Shvius, but rather to pay off what the government is being mechai of you, that you're allowed to do because it's a drabun in any way, Shvius Bisman Hazeh, and therefore we won't aser it. So it's two very different approaches. The Pashtus and the Rambam, he's not mechalik between Shvius Bisman Hazeh. He apparently holds with those that say that if there's a sakona, then you do it. So, okay, that we'll see when we get into the Gemara now. So continuing, a sadeshin itayva. So now whatever that meant, between Bavel or Yerushalayim, but Shammai Omrim, Ein Ochlim Perotel B'Shvi'it, if you did that, you cannot eat any of those peros. Whereas Beis Hillel is saying that you are allowed to eat those peros. So we're talking about over here, obviously not Svichim. Svichim or Osir. Some say that the Mishnah was actually written before the Isser Svichim was Nigzar, Or it's talking about Peiraisa Ilan, or those cases where we saw that there was no Isser Sfichin, which we'll be getting into later again. But certainly, fruit, there was never an Isser Sfichin on. So you can't plant fruit to grow in this year. And therefore, Beis Hillel says, there's no Isser in eating it. Then there's a general question, where Beit Shammai says, you cannot eat Peirot Shvi'it B'tova. Cannot go and say thank you so much to the owner of the field, because you're telling him thank you when the Torah says this is actually Peiros that belong to you. They're Hefker. Why are you thanking him? So if you thank him, you seem to be violating the Chiyuv of the Torah for him to allow you to take these Peiros. There's no thanks due to him for just doing what the Torah defined. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no, you can eat betova, and you can eat shelo betova. You're allowed to be makir teva to someone, even though he didn't have much choice but to do it. Nonetheless, you're makir teva to him. Furthermore, by the way, this is very nogea, the anhoga. This is brought by the Bali Musar, which is, somebody is doing a job, right? So you're getting on a bus, and you're sitting down on the bus, you get off of the bus. Do you say thank you to the bus driver? Of course you say thank you to the bus driver, even though he's doing his job. Because why would there be less of a chiyuv to be mechazik people in what they're doing, just stam, in terms of the fact that you owe him that trip, don't you? I mean, what about if the water saves your life, like by Moshe Rabbeinu? So you don't owe the water HaKaras Teva? And it's an existential reality. So why would you not say thank you? Therefore, in those cases, of course, you would have to say thank you. You know the wonderful story about about Rav Aaron, that he was mechayev anybody who was driving him to always go through the collector booths, which takes longer. Because at one point, like about 50, 60 years ago, before they had any electronic stuff, but at one point, they put these little baskets where you could throw a quarter in as you're traveling on the New Jersey Turnpike. You throw in a quarter and you drive through. So he never allowed his drivers to throw in a quarter. He said, you have to wait in line, and the person that is letting you through deserves consideration. He's not just a piece of machinery. He's a human being. So it's amazing. Okay, so this the same issue over here. Now, by the way, it's brought la halacha, and I think personally it's irrelevant, but it's brought la halacha the question of whether you're allowed to tell Barnea Yasher Kochacha after he does Birkas Koine. Because, what do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzava you to be Mevorech Es Yisrael. And if you're not Mevorech Es Yisrael, so then you're going to be over on three mitzvahs as say. So you're telling this guy Yasher Kayach. What's the Yasher Kayach to him? Of course, if you're a Sephardi, you would never say Yasher Kayach. You would say Chazak Baruch. But the Sephardim discussed the same question. Are you allowed to say Chazak Baruch to Kohanim? Right? So they bring this question of Achlokas, Beit Shammai, and Beit Hillel, whether you're allowed to say Betova, thank you very much, to the individuals whose field you're going into on Shmias in order to take out the Peretz. I don't believe it's Nogea Ki Huzeh, but anyway, there's a lot of discussion about it. The reason it's not Nogea, in my opinion, is because the issue of Shmias is not that he has a mitzvah to give it to you, and therefore, why are you thanking him? The issue on Shmias is that it doesn't belong to him. The Torah was Mavkir, his Sada. So if you thank him, you're denying the Hefker. That's the problem. It's not that there's a problem in saying thank you to a person who does a mitzvah. So, okay, that's already a completely different issue. So this is the machlokas over here, betova or shelo betova. Now, the question is, as we know, you would be allowed to go into somebody's field, and also that would mean without even his rishos, because you don't need him, nothing to do with him. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Eimer, Chilufa Dvorim. On the contrary, says Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Shammai was the one who said that you could be Mekel to say thank you. And Beis Hillel was the one who was machmir and said, no, you're not allowed to say thank you. And in fact, according to me, says Rav Yehuda, this is another example of the special cases which are Kulei Beit Shammai and Chumrei Beit Hillel, which we know that in Idios, we have 23 different cases like that. And this is an additional case. Beit Shammai is Meikel, Beis Hillel is Machmir, according to the way I understand the Machlok. Now, there's also a fascinating other Girsa. And this other Girsa actually occurs in Idyas. And over there, there's a whole Pirush of the Riven on this, because it's based on the Braita. Now, over there, it says the exact opposite. It says, Ein Ochlim Ela Betova. You're only allowed to eat if you say thank you to the guy. Why is that? Because there was a gezeira that people would come to be mekel in entering other people's fields if they were just able to walk in without pause during Shvias and take advantage of the other person's rishus, and then they would keep doing it. So therefore, even though midiraisa is a din of tishamtena, and therefore it's not even yours, natashta is you walk away from it, as if it doesn't belong. Which according, and this is what the Ravid brings over there in Idyas, which according to the Braisa and the Mechilta is incredible, because it says, Malamein sheporeitz papiratzot. You want to get into the guy's field, you can make a hole in his wall. It's not his field anymore. Walk it, make a hole in his wall, and drive into the field. Except that the Chachomim were geyser because of a din of Tikkun HaOlam. And we don't allow that. So if that's the case, then everything is backwards over here. Because then the chumra is that you can only eat if you're machzik teva, and the kula is you can eat even without being machzik teva, even though you're obviously not allowed to break in and cause damage to estates. Okay, fine. So now let's take a look at how our Gemara describes the differences in the Yerushalmi or the Bava. So the Mishnah started off with Sodash Nitkavtsa. What does it mean when you say Nitkavtsa? Does it mean you collected the loose things, all the weeds and the thorns that were on the surface? Or does it mean you actually used your plow to dig out the weeds? That's the question. So Taman Amrin, says the Gemara, in Bavel, what they say is that the word Nitkavtsa just means Nitlukotsa. It had things on the surface, and you took them away. That's all that it means. But here, Rabbanan D'Hacha, here in Eretz Yisrael, they say, no, the Nitkavtsa is itself actually doing the first Harisha, which rips out the weeds. That's what it's talking about. And that there you're allowed to actually go ahead, and you can use that work. And it actually is talking about al da'atayu d'rabbanan d'hacha. If the first part of the Mishnah was talking about you did a harisha and that you are allowed to use, what is the second part of the Mishnah talking about, where it says tiyuv? What's the difference between the niskavtsa or the nitaivya? So al da'atayu d'rabbanan d'hacha, over here in Eretz Yisrael, we have to understand that the meaning of tiyuv is not just that it was plowed, but rather, kol ha'am choshim pa'am achat. Everybody, now this is very weird, this language, because kol ha'am choshim pa'am achat means that everybody is allowed to do one harisha. Woo, how do we get there? I thought we were just talking about the question of bidyavad. What would it be that would allow you to use it on Mitzvah Shvius? Now you've already flipped, and you're saying, well, everybody is allowed to do only one harisha, and this guy went ahead, v'u choresh ne pa'amim. So the tiyuv is actually the second harisha, whereas in Bavel, the tiyuv is any harisha. What? The chakain? I understand. You're saying here in Eretz Yisrael, you're actually telling me that you're allowed to do a first harisha. How's that possible? How would you be doing that? Omer, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Bon, yeah. You know, over there, what do they think they are? They're living in L.A. You know, who's going to make them trouble for a field in L.A.? So they're telling you what the din is, you know. But over here, Hamalchut Oneset. Over there, you don't have these kinds of gezeiras that the government says if you don't work your field, you're thrown in jail, or you don't work your field, we're going to take away your house. So there, they didn't even think that that's the case that the Mishnah is talking about. We understand that the Mishnah is talking about the situation in Eretz Yisrael, where that is, unfortunately, many times the norm, where the Malchus is oneset, and therefore the Chachomim said, the first time that you plow, which is it's the minimum that you need to do in order to get any kind of agricultural produce out of this field to be able to pay what the government insists on, so that you can do. But the second Charisha, which is what we are calling in Eretz Yisrael the Netaiva, which is above and beyond what you actually need to provide the government sufficient to keep you out of jail, after that, not only are you not allowed to do it, but Konsul Chachomi. And in that case, if you did do it, so then you're not allowed to use it during the Shemines. That's what the Mishnah means here in Eretz Yisrael. So actually, I mean, there were Maisim later. Now we have, we're talking about over here from the Zman of Rabbi Yanai, obviously much later in the Mishnah. So Birishona, Kishaita Malchut Oneset. So Hor Rabbi Yanai Shiyu Choshim Charisha Rishona. So then, in the beginning, when this used to be the problem, so Rabbi Yanai said, okay, everybody is allowed to do a actual Charisha because otherwise you're going to end up in prison. But then, Kad Mashmad Havei Me'avar, after the Gzera Shmad, that we're calling it over here, after it was over, Rabbi Yanai saw that the heter that he gave people ended up being like a complete heter. Everybody's going around and plowing their fields during Shemitah. So Chamiton, he sees that Dam Yonkov Atta, that people are assuming in their imagination, that were Medameh, that he made a kvias. Yeah, no more Shemitah. Yeah, your first plowing is Mutter. Amar Lon, so he said to them, what the heck is wrong with you guys? Hayisur Shar Lachon. Did I allow you to do an Isser? Mirde Shar Lachon. All I did was allowed you not to be considered to be in offense of the government that you're Berida. And you come to the conclusion that Damian Kovata, you see what kind of idiots you are? Fine. So I'm Rabbi Yaakov Bar Savdi, Kamei Rabbi Abohu. And the reason that we're introducing this is because we're talking about what is the heter of allowing people to do an Isser, even if it's an Isser Drabona, certainly if it's an Isser Diraisa, just because they're in danger. Isn't there an Isser of Chilul Hashem? So that's how this all begins. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Savdi, Kamei Rabbi Avu, didn't Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Yochanan both quote Rabbi Yanai as saying, and I want you to know that Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing, B'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Yod Sadak. So this has got a lot of Mekairas, that they, one of the things that was in the Aliyat Beit Nitzah Belud, and we talk about a lot of the things that we made Gezeras and took a, at that point, the Sanhedrin needed to take votes in secret against the government. So, meaning against the government decree that they're not allowed to meet. So they would meet in the attic. And one of the things that they actually recover their lahalacha, then I'll call ha-teira kula. Minayinim yomar goy li Yisrael avar alachat mikol mitzvot amurot b'torah. On any mitzvah in the Torah, if a goy tells you, go and be over on that mitzvah, unless we're talking about avodah zorah, gilui arayot, and shvichut damim, that a Jew should better do the avera and not be killed. So, okay, so you, as we know, the end of the sugya, which we've had many times, is shenemar v'chai behem v'lo b'yamut shehem, et cetera, et cetera. So Yerushalmi doesn't bring the whole discussion. But the problem is that then they said, but when is this true? How did the tema, when are you supposed to be over on even a diraisa, except for gilei arayot, shvichas damim, and avodah zorah? That's only if it was in private. But over here, I mean, if we're talking about Barabim, afilu mitzvah kala, you're not allowed to do something. Even on the smallest thing, you're not allowed to do. And there was a maisa, kagon Lulianus or Papas Achim, like Lulianus and Papas, who Rashi identifies as the Kedoshe Lud, who gave up their lives when the government was claiming that the Jews had murdered the daughter of Caesar, And they stepped forward and they said, we did it, because otherwise there were going to be pogroms against the Jews all over. So apparently he understands the sugya over here is not that they literally died, but they were willing to die. So these people had absolutely nothing. And they gave them a cup of water that would have just been enough to survive on. And it was in colored zchuchit. And they refused to drink it. Instead, they were ready to die. So the machlokas is what was wrong. This is a fascinating sugya b'chol, which we can't go into the details over here, but which is brought up all the time in this question. What is considered to be the type of mitzvah kala that you need to give up your life for? So some learn the issue over here is that they were using a purple colored glass and it looked as if they were going to be drinking yayin nesa. So people would think that they gave in to drinking yayin nesa. That's one approach. But the other approach that the Netziv speaks about and at great length, bringing many rayas, is that, look, the Gemara talks about even haircuts, even using the wrong type of shoelaces. Anything that is something that the Goyim do specifically as part of their identification of themselves as loyal Christians, something like that, and perhaps even just minhagim that no Jew would ever do, that's also considered to be a shmad if they insist that everybody has to do that. Okay, again, it's not our sugi, but I want you to be aware of it. So over here, it could be that you'd get killed for not being able to present this to the government, but you're not allowed to do it barabbit. Said Rabbi Abu, that's no kasha. In this case, the government had no interest in forcing Jews to do things against their religion. The government wants its agricultural products. That's all. They couldn't care less. Your religion is your business. Do whatever the heck you want. But get us our agricultural products that we need for the army, right? So therefore, if they don't have any interest, it's not called the Shnas Hashmad that you're supposed to be able to give or mechuyev to give up your life for. And because of that, there was no problem in being matir working on your fields, even though that was an issur, because it was dangerous. You know, I want to tell you an amazing thing, that Gabi Batash's grandfather was mamish in this matzah, and the Turks were mechayev everyone to give a certain amount of agricultural products every year. So the first year, and he was a very rich guy, so the first year they said, look, if you don't give X amount, then we're taking you to the army, the Turkish army, which is basically a death sentence. Fine. So he gave them X amount. The next year they said it's double, and it's for 6 months. It's every 6 months. In the end, they took everything that he owned through this. And not only that, but they were mechayev him to only give clean agricultural products. So if there was a speck of dirt on a tomato, they would dump it, and it wasn't included. So he and his family would spend 12 hours a day, ultimately, cleaning for the Turks, just to be able to stay alive. In the end, they had to run away. It wasn't possible to live any longer. As complete paupers, they lost everything. So this type of thing where the government, they want to squeeze you to the bitter end, this type of thing, unfortunately, is not just in the Zman of the Gemara. Okay, so since over here, the Kavana is not, said Rabbi Avo, lo mit kaven mishmat tutchon, they're not interested in your becoming goyim. Lo mit kaven ala big ve'arnonin, all they wanted was their taxes, you know. But enochinami, if it was done on purpose, in order to be in violation of your religion, so then enochinami, you wouldn't have been allowed to do it. And you say that you can't do it barabim. What defines barabim? Kamehim barabim. Rabbanan tekesarin amrin, barabim always means a minion, basora. We learn that because the mitzvah itself is v'nigdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. And we learn out betoch, remember, from the story of the Kairach, where it says he badlu mitoch ha'edah hazot. And we learn out edah from the Meraglim, ad matai le'edah hara'ah hazot, and the edah hara'ah were the 10 Meraglim, not including Yoshua v'Kolev, who were bad. So we learn out the edah hara'ah to be the definition of what it means to be B'toch B'nai Yisrael. Amazing. We've spoken about this many times. But anyway, this defines the need for a minyan, and this defines the getter of Kiddush Hashem, and this defines V'nikdashti. When are you allowed to say Kedusha? When are you allowed to say Kaddish? It's also part of V'nikdashti. Is only B'toch B'nai Yisrael when you have a minyan. Okay, Rabosai, to be continued, among times of great Kiddush Hashem in the most wonderful way. I'm really sorry because we ran out of time before we were able to get to Rabbi Yonah. And this was, of course, the whole day was in memory of Rabbi Yonah Bar Margalit. So we'll have to wait. That means
Pnina. It's like a Margalit, but it's a Pnina.
Pnina Margalit. I got you. Okay. So Bezrat Hashem, that means that we've got poor Baruch Avram at the edge of his chair again. And therefore, the Kupat Cholim, it better be open in that area. But we'll see you Bezrat Hashem tomorrow with all of the amazing Yeshuas Hashem, Kerhef Ayin, Bezrat Hashem, Yisborah.
And Amen. Rebbe, I've been told that the thank you is mutter because of the Be'ahava. And it's the degree to which the Kohen invests of himself. That's not directly at Sivu. So thank you for your care. I don't remember who said it, but I heard it a number of times.
Interesting. Very interesting. I don't remember seeing that. Wow. That's like the whole idea of, I spoke about Paro and David HaMelech with Shimi. It's the extra attention that deserves the special attention. Very nice. Shukar. Okay.
Rabbi, one other point. When you say, if you would say thank you to the owner of a field in Shvi'it, I mean, you're saying thank you for the other 6 years he's been working and tending for the field as well. So why is that not brought up at all?
Because again, vinatashta means you're out of it. You've left it. So in feeling the sense of akaras teva to you, I seem to be relating to you, not just as the one who did all the work before, but as the one that I currently owe to, and you're supposedly not even there. So that would be the havamina. Okay. Well, I said we end up busting, but you can't. Yeah. Very good, gentlemen. Bezrat Hashem. And the Baruch Shem Yizkeh. Achar. Ketovah. Ketovah.